Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yes. Yes, Max, I'm going to throw to it. Dan Quinn met with media yesterday, and, you know, big emphasis of the press conference yesterday was on Jaden Daniels. But there was an interesting question that I think David Aldridge asked him that got him into an answer that I'm not even sure had a lot to do with the question. DA asked him about the O-line and what he thought of the offensive line and the struggles on Thursday night. Here's what Quinn said.
Yeah, I really felt like it was almost like a repeat from Detroit. You know, they got out ahead, and I didn't like how we started, you know, really on either side of the ball, David, to say, I think you have to go back and look. It was either two punts or three punts, you know, on our first two or three possessions. They drove down some, so I didn't love the way that we started. As bad as it felt, as we got into the start of the fourth quarter, you're down a touchdown. Okay, we stayed in the fight. As bad as it felt, we didn't hit on a field goal at the end of half. We missed on a good return coming out of the half, so I thought our complementary football back and forth wasn't right. And then when it got to the two scores, then you're back throwing it all, you know, to try to catch up again. So I thought, all right, can we stay in this fight? Here's our time to go take our shot. They went down to score, and that's where I thought the game changed, man, where we had one shot to go fight for it. Didn't love our balance, honestly, to go, you know, that many runs and passes. At the half, there wasn't a lot of plays, so it looks at the end of the game way higher in the passing, which is not what you want to do against a team that's rushing and going. But I just didn't love, you know, on both sides the way we started. That's what I like. You know, there are things that I liked, you know, took care of the ball, you know, those things. But just in terms of just jumping on them and being aggressive from the start, Dave, that's the thing I didn't love.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the admission there about didn't like the balance, the run-pass balance, was without question very interesting. You know, they ran the ball 9 times for 34 yards in the first half, but some of those were scrambles. I mean, you know, they came out, they threw Jaden, first two plays from scrimmage was a Jaden Daniels short pass. Jaden Daniels pressured, ended up getting sacked, and then a third pass. So no runs on the first possession. That was 3 and out. Second possession, they did try to run Eckler twice, which set up a third and 7, and then they ended up getting an illegal use of the hands. They were in 3rd and 17. They had to punt there, which was a 3 and out situation. The next possession, it was pass, play, scramble, pass, punt. So when he says that there weren't a lot of plays, that was a 6-play opportunity with a first down. Then they came back, and that was the Kroski Merritt first drive, and he gains five yards on the first carry. Then it's pass, Kroski Merritt again, pass play, field goal, which they made, which was good. And then, you know, the disastrous end to the first half where they got very conservative. They called a pass play, then Eckler twice. And it was as if they did not have confidence in trying to go for a score. But I think the idea that they didn't have a lot of opportunities in the first half, they had, you know, five drives in the first half. That's a lot of opportunities. That's a lot of possession opportunities in a first half. Or let me just say, it's not a minimal number of opportunities, five opportunities. But I thought it was interesting that he did admit in that particular answer about the O-line performance that they didn't, you know, that they got away from any, you know, sort of semblance of balance. And, you know, the score does get sideways, but not until the fourth quarter. You know, when they 14-3 is not a sideways score. It doesn't get you out of your game plan if your game plan is to try to run the football or at least have running the football as an option in the game. It's 17-10, you know, early in the fourth quarter, and got to 24-10. Understood after that, you know, that you're just, you know, dropping Jaden back, trying to make something happen. But, look, I think it's also important to acknowledge that against that team and without Bates, you know, because he left early, that it's very possible that Kliff didn't think they'd have any success trying to run the football with Kroski Merritt or with Eckler or with anybody else in the game. And that their best chance, even though they couldn't protect and even though the receivers weren't necessarily getting open consistently, was to still, you know, have your quarterback and have the ball in his hands. Because let's face it, we've got a history here, 21 games going into last Thursday night, of if the ball's in his hands, more times than not, he's going to come up with a solution. He'll come up with an answer to a tough situation against a tough opponent. We've seen it over and over again. So, yeah, I get that. You know, falling back on, it's still better for us if the ball is in Jaden's hands. You know, last year in that Pittsburgh game, remember that game? They couldn't really run the football very effectively in that game. And they put the ball into Jaden's hands, and it was not his best game. Far from it. Had, I think, his highest incompletion percentage. Pittsburgh's defense really got after him, sacked him. But he made enough plays along the way to keep them in that game, you know, give them the lead, remember, in that game when they were down 10. When they were down four, they took a 10-point lead in that game with Jaden making play after play, only to lose it late on the Mike Williams touchdown catch over Benjamin St. Just, who, by the way, was on the field last night for the Chargers. Jeremy Chin was on the field last night in that Chargers-Raiders game. So 2/4 of the secondary played in that late Monday night game. Just interesting to hear Quinn, who typically you don't get that kind of an admission, but he would have liked to have seen, I think, a better balance. Again, may not have worked. May not have. Good reasons for them not to try it. Bates isn't in the game. Jaden's been a hero before. Let's go the route of Jaden, you know, avoiding this bum rush, which comes quickly, and making some plays along the way. Gary in Upper Marlboro wants to weigh in on Jaden's availability Sunday, and if you've got a solution to minimizing the number of times he gets hit in games. Go ahead, Gary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday, and I think that's the right move because Jaden hasn't shown in this brief period sample size that he's going to play at his best when he's banged up. I think the three games that they lost in a row last year, at least the scuttlebutt was that he was not fully healthy, and I don't think Jaden played up, you know, that well last year. So it's too early in season to aggravate an injury. It's better to get him at full strength and then let him come back. And one thing I would do with Jaden, I would take those design runs out of the game plan. I just think that puts him too much at risk. And people say, well, Lamar Jackson plays that way. Well, Lamar Jackson is a quarterback that runs like a running back, in my opinion. Jaden is a quarterback that can run. And the difference is that I think Lamar has more of an instinct to protect himself than Jaden. Jaden runs really upright And I can't tell you how many times when I've seen him run where the defender just misses getting a real big hit on him because he's running so upright. So I think they need to modify the game plan. And that's real quick on Tom Brady. People forget that Tom Brady was part of Deflategate, okay, and all that stuff that happened. So I don't have any confidence that he is going to put up a wall between the Raiders and the information that he's getting from other teams. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, they've got to cut off his access completely. You know, they relaxed the rules on him this summer. They can't give him access to coaches, players, and coordinators anymore before these broadcasts, period. He can show up and call the games, and that's it. Yep. I completely agree.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. You know, back to last year, I don't feel like going down the road about just talking about, did he have a broken rib, didn't he? My gut is that it wasn't broken ribs or a broken rib. Sore, no doubt, but pain threshold different than a knee injury, etc. They let him play against Chicago. Let's not forget that, you know, if he really was at risk, they ran him a lot, you know? I mean, that's just, I said it in the moment last year, like, that's negligence. If he legitimately was hurt and at risk, they didn't hold back on the game plan. In fact, the Giant game, which was the second game after the injury, the Hail Mary game was the first. QBR-wise, it was, you know, the second best game of the regular season for him. 95.1 QBR, ran it 8 times for 35 yards, 15 of 22, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was outstanding in that game. Yeah, the Pittsburgh game was not his best game. The Philadelphia game on short turnaround was obviously not his best game. But they didn't hold off on, you know, designed option runs or tell him, you know, get rid of the ball. We don't want to see you running around. That's my only problem with going back to that and talking as if, you know, he didn't, you know, he was so hurt, shouldn't have played, or that he didn't play well because the Giant game, which was, you know, the next closest game to the injury game, was one of the best games he had all year. Steve in Rockville. Steve, finish it up for us. Do you think he'll play on Sunday, and do you think there's a solution to minimizing the number of times he gets hit?
Long time listener, first time caller, Kevin.
Thanks,
long
Steve.
Time. I do not think he'll play. I don't think he should. And solution, don't be on the field. I know Paulie said this earlier today. Don't be on the field with 4 minutes to go down by 17 points. It's been a pet peeve with me forever. Washington's not the only team that does this. Why are you playing your guys when you're down by that much or ahead? Get your players out of there. And I know you agreed with Paulie. I'm pretty sure you did. But yeah. That's my thought on that. And why they're in there? And look at Eckler and the alignment there. I can't think of his name at the moment. But why were they in there? I know Eckler hit a Achilles. He didn't hit anybody, but he was in the game. Yeah.
No, look, yeah, I mean, I there is absolutely a fair argument for, you know, down 27-10. And by the way, the context of the 27-10, your quarterback is getting absolutely blown up on every other play. Your right tackle is losing confidence by the second. You're not going to win that football game with 6 minutes to go down 27-10. You're just not. There are some games, you know, that you might be in. Let's just say it's 45-28 and it's been an up and down the field game and nobody can stop the other. You probably want to take your swing. Like, let's get in the end zone quick, make it 45-35 and see what happens. The other night, there's a really good case for Marcus Mariota should have been in there, especially if they knew that hit to the knee in the fourth quarter, on the first play of the fourth quarter, was, that had him hobbling. I didn't see him hobbling until he rolled the ankle on that final drive, but he rolled the ankle on the final drive trying to make play in a game in which they weren't going to win. I'm with you. I think that that is 100% right. I got to roll. Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it. I'm up against it. Thanks to Tom Shad, who joined us for the first time on the show. He is the new beat reporter for the Washington Post covering the team. And thanks to Steve Suter. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell's up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.